These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code parenting for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code parenting at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. As an adult and a mom of a son, both with ADHD, I know navigating the expectations of life with ADHD can be a challenge. But finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. With the right resources, you can turn your ADHD into your superpower. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD, online visits, refills, and a 24/7 care team made for you. Starting to take care of your ADHD is as easy as 1, taking a 1-minute free assessment to see if Done can help. 2, booking an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as today or tomorrow. 3, start receiving ongoing care. Enjoy online visits, personalized treatment plan, worry-free refills, and 24/7 care. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn your ADHD into your strength. Welcome to the Your Village podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline. Your Village is the most comprehensive site for evidence-based parenting classes available on demand at yourvillageonline.com. Our 50-plus classes give parents the foundation, steps, and tools for creating strong, healthy relationships with their children, resulting in responsible, cooperative, happy, and successful children and families. My goal is to help parents support their children in finding and reaching their own unique potential. The podcast is a place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm Your Village founder and your host, Erin Royer. Hello, everyone. Okay, a really quick announcement, and then we're going to get right to the question today about a child who is misbehaving at school and the mom doesn't know what to do while the child is at school, understandably because she's at home. So we're going to get into that. I'm going to talk a lot about children's misbehavior and where that comes from and the ways we can handle it in different ways in different scenarios. But first, in a previous episode just last month, I had Arielle St. White on talking about how parents can approach the subject of sexuality, sexual development with kids with positive age-appropriate messages, starting from toddlerhood. She has some great books on all the important subjects of anatomy, both male and female, body autonomy, periods, puberty, and a lot more. She made a promo code for you all. So if you're interested, you want to go to mylittleyoni.com. And if you want to get some of the books, you can use the code VILLAGE21 for 15% off. These are really great resources for parents, and they make these conversations a whole lot easier and more natural. So definitely check those out. Oh, and I did also want to mention our episode next week is with an amazing guest. Her name is Carol Kramer-Arsenault. She's an RN, author of an award-winning book, Newborn 101, and founder of Boston Baby Nurse and Nanny, a leading agency of overnight and daytime newborn caregivers, and a pre- and postpartum support service. So she is coming on to share some great information about how to vet caregivers and how to have some difficult conversations with caregivers if or when those come up. So I'm so happy to have her come on to share with us, because I remember that being a very stressful part of parenting when my kids were little. Who do you trust with the most important part of your life? How can you be sure that you're asking good questions and that the answers are good ones that you can trust, and that we're making good choices about who to invite into our homes and care for our children? So really excited to have her on next week. So definitely check that one out as well. Our question for today is from Lena, and she wrote in and said, I would love to hear a podcast on how to help children that are having challenging behaviors at school. My son is in first grade. He is in a small class at a private school. His dad and I have several concerns about his behavior at school. How can we help him process his behaviors and change them? So, this is a great question, and we as parents often hear of issues at school, and it's one thing when we're home. But what do we do when we aren't around, when they're at grandparents' house, a friend's house, or at school? How do we handle this? So first thing is to understand that there's always a reason for children's behavior. So figuring out why is the first step. But when we aren't there, this can be more difficult. So we're trying to walk through this process along with some reasons why children may act out, so we can begin to create a plan, because the reason behind the behavior is important. So we know where to go with our plan, because this dictates what steps we'll take to help our child. So here are some things that are really helpful to know. So these are some questions I'm going to ask Lena and any other parent who's having this issue, either now or in the future. Here's some things you're going to want to parse out. What is the teacher and or administrators saying? Are they just informing, but they aren't concerned? Are they just saying, here's what's happening, we're working on it, we just wanted to let you know, we'll let you know if it continues, but we're not really worried at this point? Or are they concerned? Are they looking to the parents to work as a team? If so, what suggestions did they offer, if any? And did they present a plan of any kind? Did they say, here's what we're suggesting, or here's what we think? Oftentimes they don't, but it's just good to know this. Okay, another thing. Secondly, what is the behavior like at home? Whatever the behaviors are presenting at school, are they happening at home? Or are these only behaviors that pertain to school, such as struggling to sit still during class time, staying focused until finished, or disrupting their peers who are trying to do their work, impulse control issues with their peers? And then lastly, then this basically piggybacks right on to that second question, or second set of questions. What is the behavior exactly? Are they behaviors related to distraction, related to impulse control, related to aggression, discipline type of things, like not listening, such as not cleaning up when they're asked to do so? So sometimes the discipline thing will also be related to an impulse control issue. But then there's also just straight discipline where, you know, they're asked to doing something and they're just flat out refusing. So that I would fall into just discipline, just not listening. The environment. This is really important. What's happening in the environment at that moment? Is it always at a particular time or when a particular activity or a particular transition is happening? Is it always right before lunch? Is it always at quiet time, whether they're reading or doing individual work time, or when they're switching from one activity to another? Or is it always on the playground when they're not as supervised as they are in the classroom, when this undesirable behavior is cropping up? So these are all clues to the reason that this may be happening, whatever the behavior is. So these are things that can really help determine the best plan of action. So now I want to talk about misbehavior and a couple of main reasons. Then I'm going to get into pulling this all together. So the first reason, main reason, children misbehave is they don't have the skills. They're missing some skills, some social skills, some communication skills, which are part of social skills. They're missing something. They're missing emotion skills. Now, this is often due to age and their developmental level, not necessarily a deficit, although that can be the case. But just like any other missing skill, whether it's age appropriate or they're falling behind, just like in math or in reading, whether they're on grade level, and they're struggling a little bit, or they're falling behind and they're struggling. We're still going to work with our child on those skills. So whether we're working to catch them up to their age level or just working with them at their particular level. So they could be perfectly fine in first grade math, but they just don't like reading and they're kind of acting out and they're struggling with reading in class because this next level is challenging them. Same thing with their social skills or their behavior. We're just going to work with them at whatever level they're on. Okay, so we're going to talk about this process in just a moment after we go through a couple more things here. The other reason is that the environment doesn't offer the safety or security the child needs in order to share their frustrations or struggles in a manner that feels safe to them. And if so, even if they do have the skills, even if they are up at their age level, if they feel shut down, they feel like there's no place for their feelings to be valid and expressed and heard and worked through and helped in a safe way to someone that can support them and scaffold them, they often will act out depending on their temperament. Some children will get very quiet and very sullen and just kind of go inward. Other children will act out. So this is important to know also. Skills missing, something going on in the environment, sometimes it's both. Okay, so before I dig into pulling all this together, there's one other area we want to talk about here, and that is there's four main reasons also why kids misbehave. Power, for attention, for revenge, or if they're feeling inadequate. Now, some of these can overlap with what we just talked about before. So, you know, they could be acting out of revenge because the environment isn't suited to them, for them to share their feelings appropriately. And they're feeling put upon, they're feeling like they're not allowed to share their feelings, and those will bubble up and they'll get bigger and they'll get revengeful. And so they will act out that way. So these can interplay off of each other. These are not all separate. So that's why I wanted to bring those up. I am going to quickly cover these four, how you might know which one is which, what that looks like. And then I'm going to pull it all together with the questions that I asked before, what these different scenarios might look like to help parents ascertain where the issue is stemming from, and then some steps and plans for several different scenarios, how we're going to approach each of these unique situations. Okay, so for a child who's looking for attention, if the parent or teacher is feeling annoyed, irritated, or worried, the way we feel about other people's behavior is often a catalyst. It gives us those clues to what's happening with that other person. So if you're feeling, or the teacher is feeling annoyed or irritated, worried or guilty, the child may be looking for some attention, whether it's undue attention, whether they really are getting plenty of attention and they're looking for it in a negative way, or they're actually due some attention that they're not getting, either way. Power, when they're trying to grab power, if the adult is feeling provoked or challenged, threatened or defeated, likely the child is trying to pull for power. Revenge, trying to get even. The adult is feeling hurt or disappointed or disgusted. They're likely, the child is looking for revenge. And then if the child is feeling inadequate in any situation, the adult will feel for that. They will feel despair or hopeless or helpless or inadequate to help the child with what they're struggling with. So these are the ways that we can tell. We're going to get into how to deal with each of these, as well as each of the scenarios where I talked about earlier with those questions, right after a word from our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. To me, there is nothing more important than my family's health and well-being. We all know the quality of the air in our home is important. But did you know indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air? I've got to tell you about Puro Air. In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room. Puro Air uses a stronger filter called a HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT. In laboratory studies, users saw noticeably cleaner air in just 30 minutes. When it comes to babies and children, there's nothing worse than dealing with a cranky baby or child who can't sleep because of congestion. Air purifiers can help reduce congestion and improve immune system function to fight those winter colds and flus. I use my Puro Air purifiers to clean the air in my home, especially in our bedrooms while we sleep. It has a quiet, relaxing hum and cleans the air from pet dander, allergens, viruses, dust, mold, odors, and contaminants. It has four levels: low, medium, high, and sleep. And four different timer options, so you can customize it to your home and your needs. Check out Puro Air at getpuroair.com. That's GetPuroAir.com. Puro Air is the only air filter that uses a HEPA 14 filter. That's getpuroair.com. Now that we're back, let's pull this all together. So let's talk about the four reasons that children misbehave: the power, attention, revenge, and feeling inadequate. We're going to touch on those really quickly. I've covered these in a lot of different podcasts, so I'm going to go over these super, super quickly. But if you need more, you can look on my website, yourvillageonline.com, the class on misbehaviors and solutions, the class on power struggles, the class on getting kids to listen. All goes into this type of behavior. If the child is reacting with a lot of aggression, the class on helping kids with anger also goes through that. But when they're having, when they're looking for attention, we want to redirect the child to something more useful. And this means more one-on-one time. Now, we're going to set up routines. We're going to take time to work with the child to help them understand what the expectations are. Now, when it comes to the one-on-one time, that isn't something a teacher is going to be able to do at school, but the parents may be able to do at home. The child looking for power. We're going to acknowledge that we can't force our children to do certain things. But we're not going to fight it, but we're not going to give in. We're going to pull down away from the conflict. We're going to be firm but kind. We're going to develop mutual respect. We're going to give limited choices, set the boundaries, and follow through on whatever the consequences are. We're going to encourage and redirect them in positive directions. I know there's a really high level because this is a really deep subject, but I want to just give some sort of broad overview. And again, if you want to know more, you can look back through the podcast. I've done so many, I don't remember which ones are which anymore, but if you look up misbehavior or you look up power struggles, you'll likely find some things in the podcasts. You also, like I said, can go to the website and get exact step-by-step on how to deal with each of these in the class on misbehaviors and solutions. Revenge. We want to deal with the hurt feelings first. That's really important. When a child is feeling really angry and trying to get revenge, there's a lot of deep hurt there. So we want to deal with those hurt feelings right off the bat. Your behavior tells me that you're feeling hurt. Can you share that with me? Can you talk about that? You want to really listen and reflect back. If it's something that we've done as an adult, we're going to reflect back on that. We're going to apologize. We're going to give a nice, heartfelt apology. And we're going to work to change that around. If the child's feeling inadequate, this is where we're going to really work on their self-esteem, help them finding areas where they are adequate, helping them feel and understand where they've grown, where they develop. So this is really important. And also the class on self-esteem. I have one for ages 0 to 5 and 5+. That class on self-esteem gives a lot of great ideas, gives a lot of background information, a lot of great tips on helping children develop an internal sense of self-esteem. So it's not something that we have to keep feeding to them throughout their life. We want them to develop an internal sense of strength and courage and self-esteem. So that's what that class is about, is building that up from the inside out. So these are what we're going to work on with our children if these are the struggles that they're having. Okay, now I want to talk about the questions from earlier to help parents ascertain also where the issue might be stemming from, and especially when we're going to parse out at home versus at school, what we can do for our children at home versus what we can do work with the school on. So that first set of questions I ask, what is the teacher or administrator saying? Are they just informing but not concerned, or are they concerned? Do they want to work with the parents as a team? So this is the first thing. So if the teachers or the administrators are just saying, listen, we've noticed some behavior, we just wanted to bring it to your attention, we wanted to see if you're seeing it at home, we're not really concerned at this point, we want to just make you aware, it's something to make note of, but not be too concerned about. If it is something you're seeing at home, it's something you can work on at home. But again, not knowing the exact behaviors, I can't really give exact tips on what you're going to do at home, except for the quick tips I just gave you for the power and revenge, undue attention, and the assumed inadequacy issues. So if they are concerned, though, and they want to work with you as a team, then great. We're going to have a meeting with the school. That's what I suggest, sitting down and having a meeting with the school. But I want to talk about the second point first, and then I'm going to kind of go back around. We're going to go back around. What is the behavior like at home? Are you seeing the same behavior at home? Are you seeing the same things at home? So let's just say they came to you with a frustration issue. Your child is getting very easily frustrated, and we at this point feel like your child should be able to manage his emotions a little bit better in the classroom. And you're seeing the same thing at home. Great. You can work on this at home. If you're seeing your child get very frustrated with, you know, about his toys or things falling over, lots of emotion coaching, lots of working on emotions, teaching those emotions. So we're going to talk about those feelings, whatever that family of feelings that your child is having, we're going to talk about those a lot. We're going to label those emotions a lot: frustrated, critical, angry, bitter, humiliated, let down, annoyed, infuriated, provoked. We're going to furious. You want to talk about those feelings. You want to use those big feeling words and describe those. You want to read some books about emotions. You want to talk about emotions in quiet times. Read those books during quiet times. I also have lots and lots of podcasts where I've talked about emotion coaching. So look for those podcasts where I talk about emotions and emotion coaching and teaching emotion skills. Also, again, on the website. The great thing about the website is you can find the exact answer you need very quickly. So the class on Your Developing Toddler, Your Developing Preschooler, even for children in elementary school, if they need some work on some of their emotion skills, those classes, Your Developing Preschooler, gives a lot of great tips on working on emotion skills. The class on helping your child with anger, lots of tips and tools on working with children to help them learn to metabolize their anger and express it in more appropriate ways. So you're going to work with them on these skills. You're going to teach those emotion skills, because when children are really struggling with social skills, when they're acting out, many, many times, 99% of the time, the emotion skills underneath are what need work. They're not understanding their emotions. They're not understanding what they are. They don't understand what they're for. They don't understand how to express them in different ways. So you're going to work on all of that and coach all of that and talk about your own feelings. I'm so upset that I broke my favorite vase that my best friend gave to me today. I was so excited to see my friend at the store I haven't seen in months, and we keep trying to talk to each other and we just haven't caught each other, and we got to talk together today. That was a really wonderful surprise. You want to talk about all kinds of emotions, positive and the more negative ones, and how you handle those. And then you're going to coach your child through those emotions and how to handle those. Okay, now let's circle back to, so let's just say there's a behavior that is only happening at school. It doesn't really pertain to what's happening at home, because it's something that has to do with, you know, doing work and actually focusing on their work or paying attention in school or moving from one activity to another, or that they happen to be, getting distracted when they're walking from the classroom to the lunchroom and they're, you know, kind of walking away from the class line and they're going to climb on the fence or grab the ball. There's some impulse control issues. Then those are things that are a little more difficult to work on at home. What you want to do is you want to keep an eye on it. You want to keep listening to the school and what's going on. In that case, I would explain to the school that we don't have these same things going on at home. We don't have these same scenarios. It's not really something we can work on at home. Because what happens is there's not a lot you can do at home for misbehaviors that are only happening in the classroom. You could tell a child 6 or 7 or even 8 all night and all morning long before they go to school how to behave. But once they get there, and especially once they've been there for a couple hours, they're just not going to remember. And setting a consequence at home for behaviors in school is just not going to be effective at all because the child is struggling with the skills. So if they don't have the skills, they don't have the skills. And they're not going to think like, oh, I'm not going to get to go out with my mom today to go shopping and pick out, you know, help her pick out stuff at the grocery store if I don't behave at school today. It's just not going to connect. And so they're struggling with the skills. What they need are the skills. So that's when you want to work with the school and you want to talk about, it sounds like we're missing some skills here. We can work at home, but what really is best is working with the child in that moment. What they need is the skills in that moment. So they need the opportunity to practice. So we can read books at home. We can talk about emotions at home, and those are great, and those will help take hold. So those things you can do. But is he going to go into school the very next day and just be an absolute gem? Probably not. But he also needs some redirection in that moment, and he needs some help and reminders to make better decisions in that moment. The other thing that we really want to think about is the expectation or the environment not suitable? Is this something that just isn't the right fit? Is it not working? What can the school do to work through that and work on that to make the environment more suitable if that is what's happening? And that's very common, especially boys. Boys really struggle with this academic environment. So I don't know how academic the school is, but if it's very academic, if there isn't a lot of play-based learning going on, they can really struggle with that. So it may be an environmental issue. So there's a lot of stuff, a lot of different areas, a lot of different ideas that it could possibly be. But you really want to work with the school and ask them what they suggest. Ask them what they do in that moment. Ask them how they're helping him. And then if all of that is, you know, everybody's working hard and everybody's trying to help and, you know, and we're seeing a little improvement, but not a lot, you may want to consider some type of assessment. Whether it's for, you know, ADHD, because impulse control issues are very common. ADHD is especially common in young boys, especially if it's the hyperactive type or inattentive. It could be one or the other or both. And I have an episode on that as well, so you can go back and listen to that if those are the types of issues you're seeing. And then we talked about the behaviors. What are the behaviors exactly related to distraction? So again, if it's a distraction thing, there's really not much you can do at home for that. You can work on lengthening out attention, and you do that by having them do small tasks, so like easy puzzles, and then moving it out to more difficult puzzles as they become more skilled at it. But some people are just more distractible than others. This may just be a personality thing, or it can be related to a diagnosis like ADHD. So if it's a personality thing, like I said, you can stretch that out. You can work on that. Even if it's related to a diagnosis, you can still work on it, but it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be a process. And what they really need is in that moment is to be reminded what they're working on and to go back to that activity. Again, that's an environmental thing. If you have a child who's highly distractible, you have a child who has ADHD and is highly distractible or has impulse control, if the environment is highly academic, if the work isn't interesting, if it's something that either they're really, really good at, and so it just feels rote work to them and it's not fun, these are all areas where we may want to start thinking about finding a different environment for that child. Same thing with impulse control. Impulse control is something that needs to be reminded in the moment. It's something you can work on. But if that is something related to a diagnosis, you definitely want to get a particular type of help or therapy for working on impulse control issues. Same with aggression. Aggression is related to emotion skills and a lack of emotion skills. So working on those emotion skills so they can understand their feelings, understand where they're coming from, understand what they're called, and working with them to find better ways to share their feelings when they're upset. And sometimes the aggression is also related to impulse control. So you have a child with big feelings and also impulse control, they tend to act out aggressively. So these can all interplay off of each other. Aggression is one thing that schools tend to take very seriously. So they really want to work on those because they want the other kids to be safe and feel safe. So that is something they really need to put in place, that the school should be like, here's how we'd like to handle it. Here's, you know, the plan that we would like to have and that we would like to work on. And those are then some things you can work on at home with the emotion skills. And then, of course, the discipline, like not listening, such as cleaning up when they're asked to do so. And some children who get easily distracted or have impulse control issues need to be redirected back to what the task was that they asked. It's hard for teachers sometimes because if you've got a classroom full of kids, it's really hard to be going back to one child to have them, you know, go back and redirect them constantly. But that is what the child needs. And so working with the school and saying, we're working on this at home, but what are we doing in school? What kind of extra support can he get in the classroom so that we can make sure that he's successful? So keeping in mind that when children misbehave, that there is always a reason. There's a lack of skill. There's something going on in the environment. There are certain feelings that they may be dealing with, whether they're looking for attention or power. They're feeling inadequate. Those types of things. There are a lot of great classes on my website if you need to dig into some of these things deeper, like I already shared. One of the other classes I highly recommend for any parent is Learning Styles and Intelligence Theory, because it explains the different ways that different people learn. So most schools teach in a way that is very verbal and visual, but not usually very hands-on, not very tactile, not very kinesthetic. So if you have a child who is a kinesthetic learner, who is a child who learns by doing, then that is a really great class because it gives great suggestions to help the school teach in different ways or finding a different environment that is going to teach in ways that will teach to all different types and styles of learners. The class is getting kids to listen, power struggles, helping kids with aggression, your developing preschool or your developing toddler, help lots of tips and tools for helping kids in all areas of development, but especially in the social emotional areas. You can find all those classes, 60 classes for ages infants to teens on the website at yourvillageonline.com. If you have a question you would like answered, you can send an email to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening. And see you next week.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.